You're listening to the Sports Therapy Association podcast, putting evidence back into soft tissue therapy.
Hey people, how are you doing? Welcome to episode 188 of the Sports Therapy Association podcast. My name is Matt Phillips, creator of runchatlive.com. And as always, this episode is being recorded live on a Tuesday at 8 o'clock on the Sports Therapy Association YouTube channel and also on the Sports Therapy Association Facebook page and in the Sports Therapy Association Facebook open group. If you are listening to the podcast, then thank you very much. I understand the joy of listening in your own time. Maybe you're at work, on the train, or in the car. But if you do fancy joining us live so you can mix with the other people who join live and also ask questions directly to the guests, then all you need to do is on a Tuesday at 8 o'clock, keep that time free, and then you can choose YouTube or Facebook page, or if you prefer, Facebook group. Totally up to you, and we'd love to have you along. So we have arrived at part three of our three-part series, How to Set Up a Massage Therapy Business, in which each episode we have a panel of experienced sports massage therapists and sports therapists who share tips on how to set up a sports massage clinic. And part one was all about setting up a clinic in your home, be it in the garage, or a garden, or a room of the house. And we had fantastic chat with four different therapists covering all of those aspects. And there were some amazing images. I would recommend, if you listen to podcasts and you haven't listened to these episodes, then they're definitely a YouTube one, because you'll be able to see pictures being shared. And tonight we'll probably have some pictures being shared as well, fingers crossed. Part two last week was all about setting up clinic by renting or leasing a room, be it in a gym or another practice or something similar. Again, it was a hugely valuable episode. We got onto the topic of recognizing the difference between having an employer and then a clinic owner and the different responsibilities that come into play there. Sometimes the expectations when you're an associate being over the top, and actually they can't ask you to do certain things. If they do, then really they should be treating you as an employee. So there was a lot of really interesting information. And we were joined by Chloe Reynolds, who's actually enjoyed it so much. She's back this week. And also Sarah Janes of Affinity Bodyworks. Amy Tester was with us of Back on Track Soft Tissue Therapy. And also the wonderful Anna Maria Mazzieri, who's the director of the Estes School and Hands on Hub at Therapy Expo, who gave us a massive load of great information about the importance of contracts and making a decision as to whether you're going to be an associate working at someone else's place, but still being self-employed, or actually being an employee and the difference between the two. So all of these episodes are available on your favorite podcast apps and also on YouTube, like I say, and at the Sports Therapy Association website, which is thesta.co.uk. Right, there we go. Back to this episode of the Sports Therapy Association podcast, which, as I say, is How to Set Up a Massage Therapy Business, Part 3, Mobile and Event Work. Let's bring up, in no particular order, tonight's panel.
You're listening to the Sports Therapy Association podcast, putting evidence back into soft tissue therapy.
There we go. I believe I've got everybody. Yes, I have. Hey, everybody, how are you?
Hello. Good evening. Hi.
Wonderful. That's what, like, four hellos. The number of times people have kind of waved at the beginning of a podcast, I just have to remind you that some people, about 3,000 a month, no pressure, choose to listen to this. but no pressure. I just thought I'd drop that in now before I asked you. But thank you so much for coming up, being guests on the show. It's proved so popular, this series, and purely because it's about people sharing their experiences. And that's our listeners, whether they're STA members or not. There's a lot of them, and they just love hearing about other people's experiences. It's almost, we believe, don't we, in other people now more than brands. And that comes into marketing. I think you sell yourself rather than your brand. We go to Amazon recommendations and kind of like to choose what we're going to buy. We go to TripAdvisor. So it's a sign of the times. We love speaking, listening to other people. So thank you for joining us. I do appreciate it. Before we do jump into things, just again, a reminder out there, if anyone is joining us from the Facebook group, then Facebook security means that you do need to click on a little link, which I shall bring up now at the bottom of the screen. And basically, it's just b.live/commons-issue. And if you click on that just once, then what you should see on your screen, I'll bring it up here on the screen so you can see it, is you'll get a, you've all set with the Belive logo there, and it says there's no need to do it again. Your Facebook name and profile image will be visible when you leave a comment on all future broadcasts. And actually, we've talked about this before. It's a good way to get your logo out there. If you're going to ask a question on screen, don't forget, a lot of YouTube viewers are going to see this and they'll get to know you. And they might say, oh, who is that? That's a nice logo. I like that. I'm going to look at their website now. And before you know it, you might have increased the circle of your therapeutic alliances, and it might be someone in your area. So it is worth clicking that link just to make sure that all of your glorious logos and faces come up there. Right then, tonight, mobile and event work. As we've done in the past, we will spend a little bit of time just to let our listeners know who is on the panel tonight. So all I want is just a little bit about yourself. I think where you are in the country is really nice, because the amount of times people go, I'm just down the road from you. It's amazing. It is a small world. So let us know where you are, and then what you do at the moment, and then what your experience of, if there is any, of mobile and or event work. So I'm just going to go around the clock according to who I can see on the screen. Actually, no, well, I'll go in order here. Carla Bickerstaff of Sports Massage by Carla. Tell us about yourself, will you?
So I have a degree in sports therapy and sports and conditioning. Graduated a very long time ago now. But I currently am working sort of mostly in clinic based in Sheffield. And then I do a lot more event work as well. So I'm all over the country for that. Various different events and different types of event work as well. So sometimes it's as myself that has been subcontracted for a company. Sometimes I work as part of an independent medical team. So we are contracted in by an event to provide services. And then most recently, I've worked as part of a medical team for a specific team. Like when I was away with the Invictus Games, I was part of Team UK. So I worked solely with that team. And each sort of element has a different sort of attribute to it, I think, and is slightly different in the services that we offer, the way you interact with people and things like that. But it's, I love it. I love the event work. I love being in clinic. I really like the diversity of the two that I get as well. So yeah, it's great.
That's great. Thanks so much for joining us. I think we're going to be hearing quite a lot about you in the event part of the talk, because tell us a little bit more about Invictus Games so people aren't aware what it is, and also how you managed to get into it, because it sounds like a really inspirational, rewarding gig. So let's know about it.
So the Invictus Games is for wounded, sick and injured service personnel from all the armed forces. And for me, it's something that I've always wanted to do, because I've done a lot of work in paraswimming and wanted to sort of be involved a little bit more with people with disabilities, be that physical or mental. And the Invictus Games opportunity came around by, I was invited to apply for the job through the work that I've done with Swim England. I sent my application in just hoping kind of that I would get something. And I was invited along to their selection process. And I went through the same selection process that all the athletes went through and got the call in February last year that I had actually been selected for the team, but I wasn't allowed to release any information until March, the end of March, when it was publicly released, which was quite difficult because people keep asking you, oh, how's it gone? Have you heard anything? That kind of thing. But then I had the whole year sort of working with the competitors that have been selected for the team and getting to know them individually and their sort of injuries and difficulties that they struggle with, and not just the physical side of some of the injuries, but the mental side as well, which for some of them is almost a bigger challenge to overcome than the physical side. And then in September last year, we all flew out to Dusseldorf and we were out there for 10 days at the games. And seeing the change in some of the competitors from the first day that we got there to the last day that we left was just amazing. And how much progress they'd made in their recovery, not only in themselves, but the advice that they were offering to their fellow competitors as well. Everybody was so supportive, and it was just a real, really nice team environment to be part of, and to be able to support them and support their recovery is just is great. And when the team was selected, they were selected based on, for the competitors at least, who it was going to be most beneficial for their recovery. So it's not necessarily the best athletes. It's who it's going to help the most. Whereas other countries might select their participants based on who's going to win the most medals. Mm-hmm. Team UK didn't do that. We did. It was selected on who is going to benefit the most from this process and this extra support that they're going to get. And being part of that medical team was just, it was brilliant. I had the best time out. It was so much fun.
That's great. I can hear in your voice. And this is probably something which we will look at when we go into more detail into event work. But I guess there is also there's team camaraderie or camaraderie between the actual therapist, and then you're seeing the actual competition that's going on. And it's, yeah, it sounds like something that could be very rewarding for listeners out there who are interested in getting into event work. I'm sure there's some dangers and downsides as well, as there is in everything, but we'll come to them shortly. Right. Well, thanks very much, Carla. If you're watching YouTube, then Carla's not called Carla Bickers. It's just because the names, the font's too big. And I keep telling the software designers, but live TV, if you are watching this here, once again, we've got somebody whose name has been truncated disgustingly, and it's not even their real name. So I'll put another thing into the developers just to let you know how functionality is important with streaming. But anyway, let's not dwell on that now. That's going to be a perfect soundbite to send to them now. Right, let's move around. Let's go on to Hannah, who's back from week one, recovered. How are you?
Yeah, you just can't get rid of me. No, I'm good, thank you. So yeah, I'm Hannah Tabram. I work on the Norfolk-Suffolk border. Like Matt said, I was on a couple of weeks ago because I have a treatment room in my garden, which is where most of my work comes from. Most of my work is done now, but I do still have two mobile clients I go to see. And when I started out, I was completely mobile. And I did that for sort of a year and a bit before I got my treatment room up and running. So yeah, that's my kind of mobile background.
Fantastic. I'm looking forward to that. But you, is all of your work now based from your, what do you call it? The shed with pretensions, or do you still get out a little bit?
Shed with pretensions. Yeah. Mostly I've got two clients that I still go out to because for them, my treatment room's not accessible. Mm-hmm. It's not step-free access. Both of them would need, but both of them have to be hoisted for transfers. So you'd have to have a very special clinic setup, I think, for it to be accessible for those particular clients. So I go to them.
Fantastic. Excellent. Right. We look forward to hearing you later on. And let's move around the circle to Katie Evans of Move Well Soft Tissue Therapy. Hi, Katie.
Hi there. Hi, good evening. Yeah, I'm Katie. I live in Cornwall, right down in the west of Cornwall near Penzance. I've been here about 12 years. I'm currently sitting in my cabin now, which is where the majority of my work is now. But I started way back in the early 90s. So I'm in my 32nd year of being a therapist. And I started as a mobile therapist when I first freshly qualified. And I, from that qualification, I went on to university to do a sports degree. And I worked as a mobile therapist whilst I was a student. I was a mature student, 22. So I've had many, many years of mobile, but in the day before social media and even mobile phones were out and the World Wide Web didn't even exist. So a very different world back then. I've experienced pro sport. I worked for Leicester Tigers for 5 years as their sports therapist, which was incredible. It's the years where we won everything. So that was fantastic. If you're an obsessor of sports massage and therapy. And then when I moved to Cornwall with young children, I had a bit of a break from it, having a family. And I went to work for a private physio clinic just to get my name in Cornwall because I was 300 miles away from home. No one knew me. And I picked up my mobile work again then, and then had the cabin built in my back garden. So I was almost doing three things in a physio clinic, mobile and private practice. And then November 19, decided to purely go my own. Suddenly, COVID came in the 3 months later, which was just disastrous. But it is mainly all clinic work now, where I'm sitting here in my back garden. So yeah, I've been around the houses, and I like to think I've got a fair few years left in me. So I absolutely love it. And if I can inspire anyone else to start, and if you have started, to keep going, you know, it's a fantastic industry to be in. And I wouldn't, if people say, if you could have done anything else with your life, what would you have done? I still would have chosen it, even though I've done some lecturing and teaching. Just the hands-on and being with people and helping people, I just think I win the lottery every single day. So you know, there is chance for anyone to have as long career as I have.
That's so nice to hear. And it's lovely. And so far, we've had 3 out of 3 people saying, I love what I do. I love my work. And I think that's something which we all kind of celebrate. And it'd be really, and it is very inspirational. This is why people love tuning in and hearing about people's experiences. There's going to be some troubles and tribulations that will obviously come up, and you learn the hard way. You learn from mistakes, but no, it's lovely to hear all of your enjoyment of what you do. So I win the lottery every day. Isn't that a great expression? It's not used enough that. It's great. Right. And last but by no means least, Chloe Reynolds is back from last week. How are you, Chloe? From CR Sports Massage.
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. So I'm Chloe. I'm based in Tewkesbury in Gloucestershire. I now mainly work from a treatment room, but originally I was doing lots of mobile during my like training, and then in kind of my first year, and it's gradually got less and less and less for like quite a very few different reasons. I haven't done too much event work, just I think mainly because I'm yet to find events that suit me and what I want to match with. But yeah, my experience for tonight especially is more mobile than anything else, really.
Fantastic. Look forward to it. And again, just to reiterate, part 2 last week and part 1 all available on your favorite podcast player, wherever that may be. Also on YouTube, which I recommend. And also on, where else? Oh, yeah, at the STO.co.uk. So, I mean, you don't have to listen to them in order. It's a bit like Jack Reacher, Lee Charles. You don't have to read the books in order, but it helps kind of in a way if you do, but you don't have to. Right. So let's get into the nitty gritty things then. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us, my wonderful STO members. Let's start off then, just because it came first on the title, mobile work. I'm interested, did COVID hit mobile work? Obviously, during mobile work, everything got ruined. Since COVID, has anyone experienced that mobile work has picked up again, or has it always been dented, or was it not really affected? It's as strong as it ever was. Anyone can jump into that if anyone has any answers to it.
I mean, I qualified in 2021, so I didn't go through the whole COVID years. I kind of came out when I first trained. It was all very much, you know, you need face masks and your face shields, and you're kind of going in like sort of you're about to, I don't know, do some kind of biohazard work in a film or something like that. But I mean, I think that for me, things seem to pick up quite quickly. I think by 2021, my experience was people were like, wear a mask if you want to wear a mask. I don't really mind too much. I think people were they were kind of over it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? And I don't know if that's just everyone's very blasé in Norfolk, because we obviously, I'm in a rural area, you know, we didn't have the same kind of experience that maybe people did in sort of big urban areas. Maybe people are just more laid back. I don't know. But yeah, that was my experience.
Anybody else worked through COVID and came out doing mobile work on the other end?
I think COVID was probably like the death of my mobile work, really. I think where I was doing lots before, and then all of a sudden, as Hannah said, you're then wearing like tons of different stuff. I think it was then an added extra on to me having to take my equipment, having to find a location, making sure they're okay with me. And the bubbles were a weird thing at that point as well. It became the death of it, because you're then in someone's house, you're then with all their family, and then you go see someone else in their house with all their family. So for me, just all the PPE, it was kind of gradual death, I think, of my mobile work on the majority.
That's the same for me. I only had 2 mobile left in the end. And after COVID, they decided they wanted to stop it purely for safety of the family bubbles. And the 2 people I see were housebound, and they knew I was back in the clinic mixing with other people, and they didn't want me. They shielded so strictly. They didn't want me coming back with, you know, I've got children going back to school, clinic getting busy again. And they had to sort of step to it, because they said I was quite a risk to the patients that I saw. So that's when it totally finished for me as well.
Yeah, definitely. It was weird times. And I know a lot of therapists did just never come back from it, really. It was tricky. I mean, whether you were mobile or whether you had a practice, particularly clinic owners and things like that, it was just real hard times. People who, even if you're not as into mobile as you were before, let's talk about some of the advantages. If you're not doing it now, maybe you can look back. What are some of the pros of actually getting into mobile work and lugging your couch around to other people rather than expecting them to come to you?
I think when you start out, especially, there's huge benefit in the fact that your costs, once you've kind of bought your equipment and you've got your car insurance sorted out, your costs are very much directly linked to how many clients you're doing. So you're not committed to kind of renting a room. You haven't got a loan to pay for maybe, you know, a building in your garden. If you only get 2 clients in a week when you start out, which when I first started out, like there were weeks when I only had 1 or 2 clients. But that was okay because that just meant I was using less petrol and generating less laundry. I wasn't sort of under a lot of pressure to kind of cover some kind of fixed overhead cost. So yeah, I think that's one really big advantage, especially when you're first getting going and you're getting yourself out there.
That's such a good point. Yeah, excellent. Chloe, you're sitting there nodding.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I was just looking at my list and seeing like accessibility. I think like cost when you first start is great. I think to be able to get yourself into someone's house and you end up chatting to family, your name gets out there even more, which is a great way. But just accessibility for clients that you wouldn't normally see, whether it is an accessibility thing or whether it's just a matter of that you being in their house for them works much better in their week. I think that's also really nice because you're in their lives, you come into their properties as well. I think it can create a really nice environment for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Sorry, I jumped in when you were going to say something there, Katie.
Yeah, no problem. A few things for me. So I know we like to think about our ideal clients and really honing in on our ideal client. But when you're mobile, you really can have a broader spectrum of people. So from stay-at-home mums to, you know, office workers now who are working from home since the pandemic, housebound people. So your day is really varied. In fact, no one day is ever the same. And I think that's really important for motivation levels. And you don't get the no-show. You know, it's very rare that you turn up to a house and someone's not in. So it's nice to actually, you know you are guaranteed the work.
That's true. They are less. I mean, I remember from experience, they do happen. There's nothing more rewarding, is there, from turning up with your couch, getting to the front door and then ding dong and, sorry, I didn't want to come today. But hey, yeah, they are
very rare.
Less.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're looking at you. I love the idea that, it's much easier to control your costs. You go there, you get paid. If you're not working there, at least you're not kind of using up anything. You haven't got that expectation where someone's having a go at you and kind of expecting you to deliver. Anything? Do you think it's a certain type of person that will be good at mobile work? Is there some characteristics or personality type you need to have to make it work?
I think you've got to be fairly confident in your ability to sort of walk into someone's house and kind of set yourself up and create the right kind of environment for them. You do have to go in as kind of a professional and have a very sort of, obviously we have to be professionals at all times with our clients, but especially when you're going into someone's home, I think you have to have that kind of, you have to be ready to be very professional about everything. I think also what Chloe said about accessibility is a really, really good point. I've said my 2 clients I still see who are mobile clients, I don't think there would be a treatment room set up that would work for them. I don't think there would be a clinical setup they could go to that would work for them because of their very specific needs, because they're both very young as well. For me, going into their home, into their familiar environment with their equipment and that kind of thing works for them really, really well in a way that coming to someone I just don't think would work for them. So yeah, that's a really good point as well.
So it's great for them. And like, again, we've said it a few times, being in this industry, you haven't gone down this road to make loads of money. There's far more secure ways of making a fortune. But what you do get is the buzz of making a difference to people's lives. And that if you're a massage therapist, and you're not making a difference to people's lives, and you're really getting nothing. I mean, you're getting paid little and getting no rewards. So I suppose it is lovely if you can do something where you're getting that, you know, that feedback where you're really making a difference, because that'll just keep you going and motivate you. So it's good to hear. Personality, any other recommendations for people to know whether they should do it or maybe not get into it?
You've got to be strong with your lugging or your equipment around.
Yeah. Especially
if you've been asked to go to a flat before and you arrive and then a really, really steep step of stairs. Yeah. And then you look up and you think, oh no, I've got to get my bed up these really stairs.
Oh gosh. What are couches like these days? I mean, the last time I bought a couch when did mobile work, it was like 18 years ago. And I'm wondering whether nowadays there's more variety and they're all made of some kind of like feather-like material or something. But do you still have to look around to find a light couch? They're lighter, aren't they? In the old days, it was like a workout for you. It's like you didn't have to belong to a gym.
So the couch that I've got is, it's a Nubis couch. I don't know if anybody's heard of those, but it's actually inflatable and it packs down to the size of a suitcase that you would have like a carry-on for an airplane.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
It's on wheels, so I can drag it
definitely
around.
Did have this around when I was or, when you say inflatable, hold on, I've got this image of the legs are inflatable as well. How does that work?
So it's a metal frame that you fold out and you clip the legs into it. And then the top bit is basically, if you imagine like a paddleboard type thing,
yeah,
it's kind of like that and it sits on top and is secured.
Don't freeze now. This is how they're
it takes literally 2 minutes to set up. So it saves my back carry everything around. And like I can wear it as a backpack or I can wheel it. It was a big investment.
Wow, but we're going to have to put that in the show links. That sounds great. And presumably it's come to, I mean, what's the feedback from clients? Is it comfortable for everybody or is it like a certain size or weight?
No. So I used it all the way through Invictus and everybody said to me it was really comfy, but it's also quite tactile. So if you're somebody who like it's really smooth, it sounds really stupid to say it, but the surface of it is very smooth and soft. Mm. It's quite a firm couch. If you Google it and you look at them, you'll see them actually people doing like gymnastics on it, like doing a handstand. So it's very sturdy once it's up. But actually to lie on it, I would happily lie on it and go to bed on it overnight if I could like to have it. That's how I feel about it. But I suppose it depends on your clients and what sort of treatment you're offering for them as well. So
this is another question.
Can you change the top part of it only? If you get it ripped or it punches, can you keep the legs and change the top?
Yeah. So you can change, you can order, it comes in a variety of colors, so you can color code it to your business and things like that, and you can have your business name printed on it and things like that. And like I say though, it is quite an expensive couch. It's not something that if you were just starting out, I wouldn't say go and spend money on this, because you're talking like between sort of £1,500-£2,000.
Wow.
It is a big investment.
A load of our listeners have just stopped listening to you completely.
Sorry. For me, I found it so much easier to, like you say, from carrying around a huge bed that I had when I first started out and started working and things like that.
Definitely.
It's now literally like a suitcase size, fits in the boot of my car so easy. I put my kit bag on top of it.
It's like you say, I mean, it's all relevant. It's all relative, because if you're doing a lot of event work, you know, you want something that you can carry around. It's, you're not going to end up aching and missing out on work later on because your back's hurting. So it's weighing things up, isn't it? Obviously, it's expensive, but if your livelihood comes from event work, then that's the investment. Mm-hmm. It's something I've thought of with that, and I wonder if you've got any experience in it. If you're doing mobile work, then obviously you've got all different shapes, sizes, weights, and even just kind of tastes of the people that you are visiting. So that's something which is important when you take a couch there. You need something which can adapt according to the person who is at the other end. So is that something that therapists should look out for? Because there are some cheap stuff out there. There is some cheap stuff out there, but suddenly you've got somebody who's a bit heavier or wider and this bench just won't help. This couch won't help. So what's your advice there?
I think most of the industry standards now are pretty good. If you go to physique, you know, I think the ones that they offer, I think most of them now are going to cater for that. You may get some a little bit narrower to try and make it lighter. But you can try and maybe establish what your clients like before you go, and then you can get the add-on bolsters that go on the sides for their arms, like the straps that go over, and you can just lie your arms on and you can take the head cradle. So, because hopefully you're finding out who the client is before you go. You're not knowing who they are. So once you get a picture of who that person is, you can take the right kits with you. Some couches are adaptable with add-ons. I found that. Just one thing on the size of the couch, I did have a friend who bought a smaller car that was more economical for mileage, and then found that actually couldn't get the couch in.
yeah, that's true as well. Yeah, that's true. The car you buy, you've got to think a lot. Yeah.
I had a Nissan Micra.
Yeah, I've got a Fiat 500 and mine fits in the boot of that.
Yeah.
Got in. Yeah.
I had the seats folded down in my car, but yeah, the massage mobile was, we were all good.
The massage mobile.
Yeah.
Fantastic. What about, again, I'm going back a bit since I've done my mobile work, but I remember some people thinking, oh, should I get adjustable legs or not? And it's like, if you're doing mobile work, I presume you guys will agree that changing the height of the couch is going to be an important thing to do, not just on different sized people, but if you're doing different techniques or something, it's quite an important thing, isn't it? So can you get by on without adjustable legs if you're doing mobile work?
I mean, I don't tend to change the height of mine very much just because it's a faff. So I just tend to, I've always just
Southern climb
with what I've got. But, you know, yeah, they'll be fine.
Most of them have the cool.
But yeah, it can be done. There was at Therapy Expo this year, there was a stand that had what they said was a completely portable electric massage table, which I didn't look at properly just because I wasn't. That's not what I'm looking for anymore. But it was really interesting. And it looked really good. I saw a couple of people having a go on it. And it looked, yeah, completely adjustable. And yeah, it looked good.
After doing mobile work, I remember when I moved into, we set up a big clinic and stuff, having that automatic couch was just like heaven, especially with a really foot pedal. It was just like, I'm never going out again anymore. Look, they just put them down for the hell of it. You don't even need to. It's something else. It's something else. But yeah, you're not going to have that with. So it was the idea that this was a mobile.
Yeah, it was meant to be a completely portable electric massage table.
Gosh, that is something else.
Wow.
Gary Benson's just said here.
A bit more closely, if I'd known you were going to do this.
I'm just going to say, Gary Benson's mentioned in the comments, STM members have a great deal with physique. It's true. On a lightweight couch or even a starter pack, if it's just starting out. I was chatting with the physique people the other day. We had a lovely hour communication. And yeah, make sure if you are an STM member that you have a look in the STA members area for the very generous discount you get from physique. This can save you lots of dosh. And it is really a one-stop shop. They've got loads of stuff. Sound like I'm doing an info now. I feel like I'm doing some American info. But it is that they've got so much there. It's worth checking out if you haven't yet. Great. So, yeah, couches. It sounds like these days they're better. But I remember back then it was like you could, I mean, they had like 50-pound couch. You thought, excellent, that's going to be the one. But then you realize it's fit for nothing. You know, it might be fit for one person who's 5'3" and weighs, you know, 40 kilos. Great. But anyone above or below is, forget it, so. Okay.
I think the best thing to do though is just read the reviews and do, you know, do your homework and ask around in some of the chat groups as well. But reviews normally give you a good indication of how well the couch is performing.
Say that again. Sorry, your sound is, I couldn't hear any of that. Just repeat that if you could.
Sorry. Yeah, no. Just advise people to look at the reviews before they buy.
Oh, the reviews. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And asking the other, you know, the support groups on Facebook what other people use and just go with word of mouth.
Definitely ask colleagues. But now, thanks to COVID, I mean, we do talk to each other much more. We don't see each other as competition. So especially if you belong to like a professional association as supportive as the STA, just reach out, put something in the chat. Hey, anybody, I'm looking for a new couch, which has got this, these attributes. What do you recommend? And bam, boom, 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 boom. Tried and tested by your colleagues. So, okay, because of time, what about some of the things people have to look out for? What about the dodgy parts of doing mobile work?
I think just like safeguarding yourself, because you do not know where. When I started, I was 22 and I was so naive. And you just go to people's houses, even if you've chatted to them beforehand on the phone or get them to fill out your forms, you do not know where you are going, what these people are actually like. I did a lot of work at nighttime as well. That's another factor. I was young, very young female. That's another factor that was not so great for myself. So I think looking back, it was just making sure that you safeguard yourself so you know where you're going, someone knows where you are.
Yeah.
All kind of factors I think were really, really important. And it's now why I only do mobile for clients I already know or I already have rapport with or I know where they are, because like I live alone anyway. So I could disappear and no one would know for probably a good 24 hours until someone texted me, didn't know where I was. So I think making sure you look after yourself is such a big one. Having a partner or someone know where you are, having your location on your phone so people know where you are. But I think having that pre-screen chat with clients as well is a really, really important one. So you know them before, or you at least spoken to them before you actually rock up at their house with your massage table.
Yeah. I mean, there's some really good advice. The Susie Lamplew Trust website has got some really good advice on like loan working, because obviously, yeah, you are wandering into someone's house and like you say, you don't know who they are and they could be anyone. So things like, for example, if somebody has booked in and you're expecting to go and see someone called, I don't know, Jane, who's 25 and a great big hairy bloke of 50 opens the door, don't go into the house until you've seen Jane and you know she's in there. You know, things I used to do is always park to escape. So reverse your car onto the driveway. I used to leave my car unlocked.
That's good advice. That's just like, yeah.
I live in Norfolk and no one wants to steal an ancient Nissan Micra for some reason. I don't know why. They're great cars, but nobody wanted it. I always had my car keys. I had one of those like spirally springy key ring things. Do you know the kind of things I mean? Mm-hmm. That was attached to the handle of my bag. And then my keys were clipped to that. And I used to leave the bag by the door. So I could just, if I needed to, walk out, pick my bag up on the way out and be straight out and in the car.
Very clever.
You know, and things like always follow the client into the house. Don't have the client behind you. Watch how they shut the door. And it's stuff that it sounds really paranoid when you list it all out. It sounds like, oh my God, you're just terrified of people. And it's not. It's just being aware of your safety and being aware of where you are. Because like you said, you are walking into someone's house and you don't know who they are until you get to know them. So a little bit of awareness just makes you feel a lot safer. And I mean, I did mobile for like a year and a bit. I only had one bad experience with someone, which was a bit unfortunate, no harm done. It was just one of those things that you think, ooh, I'm not very happy about that. I didn't like how that interaction went down, kind of thing. And to be honest, when that did happen, all of my plans were, I'm just going to walk out the door. I just froze up and then completed the massage because that's what you do. You kind of socialize to do that. But I think if you've got your plan, at least you have that and you know where your stuff is and you kind of have the confidence, say, okay, there's my keys. I can just leave if I need to.
Yeah, that freeze thing was something that was shared. That there was a series of episodes about safety, and in episode 75, which I recommend that everyone listens to, there was, I think, about 7 or 8 female therapists who shared their experiences. And it was quite a shocking episode, but a real emotional, important listen, because some people, especially if you're younger, and it could happen to men and women, any gender, it's everyone's kind of like be susceptible to it, unfortunately, these days. But yeah, when you hear what has happened to other people, it makes you think, oh Jesus, this could happen to me. It's not just something out of a novel or like a myth. It's quite incredible. So I reckon you should, and a few people did mention on that, yeah, you freeze, you know, you just don't expect to be put into that situation and feel so vulnerable, and it's kind of, we talk about fight or flight, there's also just freeze. So it's, yeah, shocking. Be prepared. Some brilliant ideas came out of that. I mean, that one of putting your car, it sounds like paranoid, but putting your car the right way around, so if you have got to get out, are amazing. And the clip-on keys, Gary here, founder of the SDA's, put a few things in here as well. He mentioned location is really important on your phone. That's good. Have location services activated on your phone, either Snapchat or Apple. I think these days there's more and more clever ways of doing shortcuts to even just sending a text to your emergency number, a pre-made text, which could say, "Get, I need your help now, come here." And you just click it. I mean, even the other person might never know you've done it. So, and also Gary said, let's just read this out because Gary's just full of wisdom here. Although this is a bit mansplaining, but here we go. When you get to someone's house, phone your partner, or at least pretend to, giving them your location and expected time that you've finished. Then tell me your phone when you're leaving. So little things like that. So important. Facebook user here, in case you do want your name and logo to come up, then click that link. I said, I agree. If I do have a home visit with someone new, I always tell 2 other people, give address of client and time of appointment, how long I'm meant to be there. Definitely chat with client pre-appointment to get details. Also, if the place sends alarm bells, I would probably leave. Yeah, listening to your gut, I guess, is something which a lot of people have.
Gut feeling and just having common sense. You know, by the tone of their texts or however they message you of what they're actually after. If you're constantly advertising that you do, I don't know, relaxation massage or remedial, whatever it is, and then they ask you the same question again in the text, it's almost alarm bell straight away that they've not actually been following you and seen who you are, and they're just chancing it. You know, for me, it was, you know, am I available that day? Can I do? It was almost out of my mileage area. I always set myself a radius and then never moved my boundaries to try and get them diary busy. I still stuck to times a day that I wanted to work, the area I wanted to go to, and I didn't distract from that. Just, oh, I could earn another 40, 50 pounds tonight. I still stuck to my ones. And I found the one, you know, the ones that were a little bit more dodgy were ones that were not necessarily my area. Mm-hmm. Or they wanted me there and then that day. So I think you can tell a lot by their initial contact with you and then what they're requesting from you. You do get a really good feeling from it, I think, straight away. And I always say go with that gut feeling, even if it sounds too good to be true. You know, sometimes it is, you know, you've got to go with what really your insides are telling you.
That's great advice, Katie. Everyone else, you're nodding, you It's a sentiment you'll share, it looks like.
Yeah. I think, yeah, I definitely had a few people get in touch with me and sort of either in the texts or in the conversation, you're like, no, I'm not coming to see you. I'm not coming to your house. I think the best one was the text I got from someone saying, hello, I am a bodybuilder. You're like, great. I live in this town with another bodybuilder. I'm like, okay, I didn't realize that town was a haven of bodybuilding, but brilliant. Could you come and massage us? I said, yes, possibly. We would like you to massage our glutes and we don't want you to wear any, we don't want any towels. We just want to wear our Speedos. I'm like, no, no, no. I think you can find someone else to massage your bums and your Speedos. Thank you very much. Which, at least they were up front.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
You two get some random.
It can be said. Yeah, they're shared all the time in groups, unfortunately, and people share what sort of requests they get. It's very strange. But not taking any risks seems the best advice.
Sorry, Matt. I think where you advertise you for mobile has got to be slightly different to where you advertise for your clinic as well. Because before the internet, when I was doing it, you know, it was free directories. You wouldn't dream of putting yourself in a free directory. Now, it just doesn't bode well that you're a mobile massage therapist. So just be sensible where you're advertising that you are protecting yourself literally from even just putting your message out there.
Good point.
Times have moved on, definitely, but you know, if you want to go in directory, being one that's a, you know, a reputable one that's, you know, specifically for massage therapists, I've seen a few of those around, not just to randomly put your poster up or hand out business cards like you would mm-hmm. do possibly for clinic work. I think you've got to look at how you're promoting yourself as well.
I think one of the important messages that also, because we're going to move on to event work shortly, but one of the important messages that came out from the time we spent with the episode 75 was, if something does happen, talk about it, share it. Okay. Don't keep it bottled up inside, because that's something which could be horrible as well. If something does happen and you just don't talk about it, that could be the end of your career. It could be tragic. You could carry around with you forever. So reach out and talk to other people who you trust. Again, professional association would be really useful. That's where basically, that's what you pay your money for. I'm no Gary, and we've got people at the Sports Therapy Association who are trained in that, who will talk to you. It's all confidential. So yeah, reach out and talk about it, because it seems to me from what I've heard that people blame themselves. You start thinking, did I do something to provoke this? Was I giving off the wrong image? And it's all those kind of same kind of thoughts that go through your brain when 99 times out of 100, it wasn't you at all. You were totally the innocent party. So anyway, look at that. We're already at 8:46 and we haven't moved on to event work. Carla's there rubbing her thighs thinking, come on, let's do it. Event work, I've got so much to share. So yeah, okay. Well, so there we could have talked forever about mobile work, but that's great. Some amazing tips, people, and some amazing points, you know, some advice on what to watch out for. I love the satisfaction you get out of it. I love the inclusivity you can give people by going to their homes. It's, I think that's a really important point. Yeah, wonderful. Event work. Suddenly we move over. The pluses of event work? What do we got, people? Go on, Carly, you go first. We've already kind of touched on the enjoyment factor. What else can you get out of event work as a business?
I think it gives you the freedom to choose, to pick and choose what sort of thing you like doing and what sort of thing you see a future in. If there's a certain sport that you want to work in, you can sort of target that to sort of work. Also, gives you the choice of, do you want to work specifically with a team? And do you want to be just with one team, or do you want to work with as many people as possible, sort of like an independent therapist that anybody can come and access at an event? So there is a lot more flexibility, because you control who you're seeing, which events you work, what sports you're targeting, and to a certain degree, your income. If you're sort of setting it up for yourself, you can say, well, this is what I'm going to charge, and people can either take it or leave it, which can be difficult if you're trying to set it up on your own and do things for yourself, because you don't want to price yourself so cheaply that people go, hang on, why are they so cheap? But then if you go too far the other way, you're kind of pricing yourself out and nobody would want to work with you. So there is a very fine line between the two, I think. But definitely being able to choose who and when you work and the dates and things is a massive.
Does it depend? What I mean, in my neck of the woods, there are some people just taking the piss, basically, of how much they'll charge you. There's certain kind of online communities who will say, oh, you're a sports massage therapist, come and work for us. We've got events all over the place. We'll pay you £5 an hour. Well, if it's a whole day, we'll, you know, and it's like, come on now, I'm a professional who's trained for years at this. So has anybody found that you have to look around and there is a chance of being taken advantage of a little bit by companies or
Sure. I've always looked at events. I'd love to do and be involved with events, but I've seen that everything when I look at, it's like, hang on a minute, you want me to work a 12-hour day out of my area for free?
Yeah.
I'd get friends from it.
I mean, to be fair, sometimes you have to do the free work to get the paid stuff at the end. And don't get me wrong, event days are so long and can be absolutely exhausting. And it does take a kind of, I would say, a certain kind of person that can sort of compartmentalize things and go, right, I am going to be there for, let's say, 10 days. I know I'm going to be working 18-hour days for those 10 days. And then I'm done afterwards. Whereas if you're somebody that doesn't necessarily like long days, then I would say it's not necessarily something that you would enjoy. But sometimes you don't know until you have a go.
Can you make money out of it, though? Can you make money out of it? Or is it more of a case of getting experience? It's a great gig for kind of students sometimes. Even if you're not getting paid, you get experience, you get to network, you get to talk to the organisers. Or is there a way that you can actually make some decent money out of events once you get a name to yourself?
I think so. I think once you've established yourself and you have a good reputation and people, like you say, you are a brand at the end of the day. If you're working for yourself, you're trying to sell yourself. If you're subcontracted by a company, pick a reputable company for starters. Don't just go with the first one that you find. Like, you need to do your research on that company. What are the people like that you're going to be working with? And again, it comes down to the sport and the event. So each event will have a budget for medical cover, and that will then be determined on how many, because they will have to have a set number of paramedics, a set number of physiotherapists, a set number of doctors. Like, that will determine how much the money is divvied up, let's say. And certain sports are more lucrative than others. So tennis, for example, has a shed load of money. That can be really lucrative if you can get into tennis. I don't know much about football. It's not really something that I've been interested in trying to get into. But from what I've heard, they have a lot of money, but they don't like to spend it. Like, they want to sort of undercut themselves and only charge people, like, say, oh, we'll pay you £8 an hour or whatever. Which, so it's kind of, do your research and see what you want to do. Sometimes it's just about getting your foot in the door. So you have to do those voluntary things and network and meet other people and, like I say, build your reputation, and then that leads on to bigger and better things for you.
Jump in, anyone.
Is there anything that you avoid if you see like an event advertised? Is there anything you avoid or things that you think not going to get involved with that at all?
Sometimes it will be the sport, and it will depend on what they're advertising a role as.
Yeah.
So if there is something like, I've kind of avoided things like BMX biking at the moment, because if somebody comes off a bike, that is very much more of a medical role. But some events I do dual role, so I do that kind of medical thing. But if I'm looking and going, do you know what, I don't want to be dealing with 50 people coming off on the same corner or anything like that, I might sort of step back from that event and be a bit more in what I would call my comfort zone. So swimming, tennis, netball, those kind of things. But then being at a multi-sport event is great because you can travel around to big things like Commonwealth Games, for example. But those opportunities are not always paid for the multi-sport things. It kind of, you have to decide what you like as a person and know what you want to achieve from it and what you want to do, really. If it's a company that are advertising that they want people to sort of subcontract for them, I would do my research on that company first and see what the reviews are like. If they're offering to pay you, have they paid the last people that worked for them? Like, there's nothing wrong with doing your research like that and saying, actually, do you know what? They haven't paid someone that worked for them two events ago. I'm not touching them with a large pole. Like, reputation is massive in event work.
I found at events, I mean, I'm biased. It's all my events. Actually, I've done rugby tournaments, but mainly it's been marathons and half marathons. And I used to put people together, and you wouldn't make much money out of it, but it was a great opportunity. If you're doing a local marathon, let's imagine there's 6,000-7,000 people going to Brighton Marathon or something. Cards, giving out your cards. You know, you're spending time with the runners and you're giving them a card at the end. So in theory, you are like giving your, you know, you're distributing your cards to the actual exact people. You know, it's not like putting a thing on Facebook and hitting somebody in Glasgow or something when you live in Brighton. You really are getting the locals. So I've always seen it as a great way, probably the best way of advertising, going to an event, especially if it's, you know, local people attending it. Because they're going to love you. You know, you're going to give them a great treatment. They're going to say, oh, well, that was amazing, you local, and bam. So I see it as an advertising thing to get out there. Listening to Carla is very inspiring, and it makes you think, wow, you know, you can get a passion, you can choose. I never thought of other sports and things, but for people like Chloe and Hannah, does it make you think, actually, I might look in some events and maybe pop my head around and see, should I get involved? Or
I mean, I've done a couple of events. Mm. I did one where it was actually somebody else I know was approached by a race organising company to say, oh, do you want to come and do sports massage at our race? It was like a fairly small local, well, it was a series of kind of 10Ks, I think it was, that they did all around the kind of East Anglia. Do you know anyone else? So we both went along and we were both a little bit annoyed because the marshals were all getting paid and we weren't. And it's like, hang on a minute, the marshals are getting paid and we're not.
Marshals getting paid? That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, they're only getting paid like a tenner, but that is not the point. We were quite annoyed. But the other one that I've done, which was a little bit different, was actually someone I know did a wellness day. So she had lots of people, they were in a field, they did yoga and lots of different cold water therapy. And then she got me to go along and do taster massages, for which I got paid. But then also, I thought nothing of it. And then I've literally just had someone book in 6 months later who I saw at that day, and she's just come and booked in. So that was worth doing. And that was really good fun. I really enjoyed that day. I did like doing the event that I did. I enjoyed the experience of doing it, but I liked doing the kind of slightly slower paced, kind of more gentle sort of 10, 15 minute neck and shoulder type massage that I was doing. Because I had time to talk to all those different people and sort of tailor every little treatment to them. And I really liked that. So I'd quite like to do a bit more of that, even though it's not quite a sporting event. Mm-hmm. It was really good fun.
Yeah, one of our guests, Lucy Williamson, nutritionist, does a lot of those wellness days. And she works with David Jacko Jackson as well, who is into the breath work. And yeah, together they've got this thing called, oh damn it, root from the root or something, but it's all about restoring, kind of working with nature and eating well and doing, you know, a lot of meditation and yoga, and yeah, they have massage things. So yeah, a great networking opportunity as well. And like you say, 6 months later somebody gives you a call. Nice way of looking at it. Right, look, it's 8:58, so I'm conscious of time. We have lost Katie, I'm afraid, but then the sound was going out anyway. So anything else about event work? I mean, I think we've mentioned it can be really rewarding. You need to do your homework and look around. Good for networking, but great for students, I believe. I think you really have to put your time in. Some people complain that we're not getting paid, but what a great, if you're at an event work where you're having to do your 50 minutes, it can be really hard work, but great experience for practicing. I think it's, I always love taking teams to the marathons and things and working that out. So we've got a comment here from Facebook user. Sorry, Facebook user, I'm not sure who you are. It's probably someone I know. But you said, I thoroughly enjoy doing event work here and there. Some paid, Ironman Bolton, and some voluntary, Commonwealth Games. Great opportunity to network with other therapists, pick up useful tips. Not many new clients as a result, despite giving out cards, but mainly positive experiences. Oh, there's Nicola. Hey, Caramel Health, Nicola. How are you doing? Sorry. It's because you just need to click that Belive link and then your name will come up. Hope you will, Nicola. Yeah. I mean, I think it depends. I think if you're going to an event which is in your hometown, then great. But if you're traveling up somewhere else, like, I'm not sure if you're from Bolton, but yeah, if you're going somewhere, then the cards aren't going to be quite as useful. But yeah, in your own neck, it's worth doing. Yeah, your own neck of the woods, worth doing some event work. Right then. Look at that, 8:59. So we blasted through that. Pretty sure we've given out some great information. I'll say that like it was me. You guys have given out some great information. So thank you very much for that. As always, if people are interested in, you've got more questions, the best place probably to go is YouTube. That's the best place to leave comments because it's just there forever and it'll show up in Google. And I'm always keeping an eye on it. So if you've got any other questions about either mobile work or event work, head to the Sports Therapy Association YouTube channel and stick the comments in there, and I will make sure they're answered. I will let people know if you're directing towards one of our guests. And just to let you know once again who you've been listening to tonight, best way of reaching people, let's just go down the list and say, ask what people should do if they want to get hold of you. So, Carla, if people want to contact you, is it best through Facebook or Instagram?
Just either Facebook or Instagram, through my business page, probably.
Brilliant. So, and that's both Sports Massage by Carla, isn't it?
Yeah, they're both them. So yeah.
Very nice. Fantastic. Great. And then Hannah, if people want to contact you, Instagram you on as well, and the website?
Yeah, probably Instagram and Facebook as well. And I think I am at Hannah Tabram Sports Massage Therapy. I'm just going to have to look that up. I can't remember. It's been a long day. I don't know what way to go. If you put Hannah Tabram SMT in, then I will come up on Instagram.
Fantastic. I like on your webpage, I'm pretty sure, I'm just going to bring up some YouTube screenshots here of your website. Even at the top of your webpage, it's got the email address there, hello@.
Yeah.
So that's a really nice idea as well, just at the top.
I highly recommend, when you start your business, if you are married to someone who builds websites for a living, I do recommend that as a way to start a business.
Finding
it's very useful. Okay. He will be very pleased.
Excellent. But you just have to watch out what their footwear is like when they're drilling in the garden. But that's another story. That's
don't trust them to choose their own footwear.
Yeah, great. So I'm just putting up the screen for those of you who have joined us live. There's people love seeing websites. I've had emails saying, oh, it was really nice when you showed other people's websites. It gives us ideas. So that's Hannah's website there, which is, like I say, hannahtabram.co.uk. Also, I'm just going to go back a second to Carla's wonderful Facebook header. Look at that. I mean, that is just like Event City. So much on there. And it shows association with other companies as well, which is really cool. It just shows how much you can make your Facebook work for you. Really nice. Really nice use of Facebook there, Carla. So yeah, good job there. That should inspire a few people. If you listen to the podcast, I recommend you do go along to YouTube and have a look towards the end of the show. Well, listen to the whole thing, but have a look at the end of the show and you'll see some great examples of visuals there. And then also we have got the Move Well Soft Tissue Therapy up here from Katie Evans, which is a lovely website as well. Loads of information on there. Great visuals. Very commendable. And also we got About the CR, which I love. It's just great. It's very infectious. CR being obviously Chloe Reynolds. Chloe, people can reach you on Instagram, can't they? CR Sports Massage.
Yeah. There's any socials at CR Sports Massage, yeah.
Brilliant. Great. And also the thing I love, I mean, Chloe's got the STA logo on there as well. Use the STA logo, people. We really have got a good rep amongst allied health professionals. You know, we really are forming an integral part of multidisciplinary care. People are listening to us, they're loving the stuff we do at Therapy Expo, and they're respecting our members because they know that it's coming from an evidence-based background, that we're up training and learning to that, you know, we can spot the red flags, we can help refer people out for often undiagnosed symptoms. So now is the time more than ever to flaunt your STA logo. And if you need any advice on that, then obviously just email Gary at the STA.co.uk or Matt at the STA.co.uk, or just have a go to the members community or the coffee chats. We talk all about websites and things like that there. And then also just having a little look here. No, that was it. That's all the websites I've had. So Katie, I think, is back. Katie, if people want to contact you or have a look at your... I'm sure Katie did join us, didn't she? Is she here somewhere? Maybe not. She came and went.
I think she's in the chat.
Oh, she's in the chat. There we go. I did see it, Kate. If people do want to have listened to Katie and want to contact there, then I would go along, like I say, to movewellsofttissuetherapy.co.uk is the best place. And there's all links to everything there. Fantastic. Let's see your faces again. Right. Thanks, people, for joining us live. Much appreciated. Next week, those of you who joined us in the live lounge as well, thank you very much for your questions, for joining us. And obviously, if you listen to the podcast, thank you very much. If you are listening to the podcast, then please, please do us a favor of just leaving a rating and a review. We have about 3,000 downloads a month and we have about 50 reviews or 50 stars. And they're all fives, which is lovely. But I would like the other 2,950 of you who download our free product to just, you know, get your hands out of your pockets and just leave a 5 stars. It would be nice. I'm not saying 2,950 by tomorrow, but should we say just 1,000? If you're on the iPhone, it takes you about 22 seconds. You know, you just have to go to your In&Out app and just put 5 stars in there. You'll make all the difference. We don't get any money. It just means that the great word of our guests gets out there more. It means it comes up higher in the Google search results when people put in mobile work or event work. You know, we need that. So please, please, please do the right thing and leave a rating for the Sports Therapy Association podcast. Next Tuesday, March the 12th, 8 o'clock, the topic is going to be fitness for individuals with disabilities. I'm very excited to bring you special guest Robert Francis, who has just launched movemojo.com. The website is live and active. If you want to have a little look, amazing project. Talk about reward and making a difference in all across the world. I would encourage you to have a look at movemojo.com now. And I'm going to have the creator, Robert Francis, in the studio next week. So if you do our listen podcast and you want to join us and put questions to Robert kind of face to face in an online world, then yeah, just go to YouTube or the Sports Therapy Association Facebook page or the open group and join us there. Thanks again, once again, to our STA panel for joining us. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
And people who are listening, hopefully we'll see some of you in the live lounge next week. In the meantime, take care of each other.
You're listening to the Sports Therapy Association podcast, putting evidence back into soft tissue therapy.